She's upping her game. She's like,
she's like super seeing Dave there.
Yeah. He's like, I wasn't trolling just the Deacons, now I'm trolling the elders too.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. Let's go ahead and we'll start with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your love. We're thankful for the instruction that we have through your word. And we pray that we would look to you for guidance, for bettering our lives and for bettering our marriages, bettering our families, so that we can draw closer to you. We're thankful for the words of wisdom that you've provided for us, and we pray that we would use them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this morning's lesson is dealing with families with adult children. And I have to say that I did not find a lot of passages along these lines. So I'm going to just kind of put some thoughts out. We can discuss them. Last week we talked about how easy it was to raise teenagers. We do know that there are challenges in those things, much like the challenges of raising younger children. So what do we mean by adult children? I mean, isn't that kind of a adult children? It's kind of sounds a little contradictory, oxymoron, I guess. So what do we mean by adult children?
Well, you're always someone's child.
Yeah, always someone's child. Basically, what we're looking at is, I found an article by someone named Debbie Pincus, who wrote an interesting... It was a two-piece article, and so I'm kind of looking at some things along those lines. So basically, what she said in this article is that more and more adult kids are coming back home or never leaving in the first place. In fact, if you are in this situation, you're not alone. A recent survey said that nearly 53% of 18 to 24-year-olds in the United States reside with their parents. So whether your child is contributing his fair share or driving you up the wall with irresponsibility and attitude, you're bound to lock horns from time to time. And so that's kind of what I had in mind when I threw this topic together. Is what do you do with adult kids that are still under your roof, that you're still raising, in essence? So let's talk a little bit about why are children living? Why are adult children living? What are some reasons?
Financial security.
Financial. That's definitely a big one, and sometimes it's a child, or maybe even the child and the spouse, or a child and their family, and finances happen, right? There's struggles in this life, and so finances can be one. Maybe they're trying to get financially stable. Maybe they're trying to save some money to. For a down payment, either to get into an apartment or to maybe a down payment on the house. So that's definitely one of the reasons. What's perhaps another reason?
Medical,
that's definitely a good one. Disabilities, right? Or challenges maybe. There's some challenges in perhaps things like ADD or ADHD or maybe they're not quite mature enough yet to be on their own. So sometimes those are sometimes factors along those lines too. We talked a little bit about what makes an adult, right? The government says 18 years old is kind of the law of the land of when they become an adult. Is that really true for all children? No. You know, there's sometimes that maturity level that is lacking. We did talk about an example of a biblical example of what God considers an adult. Anyone remember what we said about that?
Laman at 20 years old.
And that was from where? Do you remember the example?
Joshua. Not being able to go into the promised land.
Correct. And so just, I did look that up because it's in Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 to 35. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verses 29 and 30, it says, your dead bodies will fall in this wilderness, and all your number listed in the census from 20 years old and upward who grumbled against me. So basically, below 20 is kind of what God looked at as children. In verse 30, it said, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So that's an example of children there. But like we said, there are sometimes medical issues, maturity issues, and things like that. Now, I did find an interesting example in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, there's an example there where Jesus heals a blind man who was a beggar. And this blind man that was a beggar, they were starting to accuse him. It's a, who healed you? Why were you healed? And all this. And so it was kind of interesting because the parents there actually kind of didn't want to be caught up in this controversy. And so they were telling these leaders that were kind of harassing about Jesus. They said, well, ask him because he's of age. So in verses 21 to 23, he says, you know, they're arguing, but now he sees, we do not know, nor do we open his eyes. This is the parent speaking. They knew their child was blind. They don't know why he can see now, but then they say, ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he's of age, ask him. So, you know, there again, those are really about the only two things that we found. Why do you think kids are enabled to live at home? Adult kids.
Why are they able to live at home?
Yeah.
Because the parents let them.
The parents let them, okay. And the idea of adult children is, you know, what should the parents be doing with these children? What do you do with an adult child?
I think it depends on the reasons we mentioned before. If it's something medical, you know, you may just be taking care of them, you know.
Right.
Or psychological, or, you know, whatever, like in those extreme cases. But if it's the rule, not the exception, you know, I think the goal is to try to make them self-sufficient and get them creating their own house. You know?
And that's a good point. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that's done. Now, like I said, I'm taking some of this from this Debbie Pincus, who is some sort of a psychologist or counselor in that. But one of the things that she said is that sometimes parents are what's called overfunctioning. And what that means is, you know, we, as you mentioned, Mendel, is helping older children sometimes means doing things for them that they can't do for themselves. So, for example, if you have a child with medical issues that, say they have a broken leg, you're going to drive them around. So that you're doing that because they can't do that. And so that's helping them. Overfunctioning is when you're taking responsibility for the things that your adult child can do. So that's what this idea of this overfunctioning is. So, for example, maybe you're doing their laundry for them, you're cleaning up after them, you're kind of enabling them to be the way that they are. And so that's what this over-functioning is doing. You're still treating them as a child. I mean, you do those things for your kids when they're small. You try to train them to do things for themselves and as they grow older and stuff. So what we'll look at here is, what are some of the parental roles that you have with an adult child? And there were two things that were brought up in this article. One is that you're a manager versus a consultant. So what does a manager do in regards to, you know, what are some of the things that a manager might do? A manager would have kind of a hands-on type relationship, right? And so very hands-on. We talked about how important it was to be hands-on with young children, right, as you're trying to train them and trying to raise them. But when your child grows up, hopefully you're moving more towards a consultant instead of a manager. A manager does those day-to-day things. A consultant does what? A consultant
gives guidance.
And so the idea is that you want to build on the things that you've taught them. Well, sometimes that's hard if you haven't had that opportunity or taken that opportunity to raise them, like we said, you know, with young children, raise them with teenagers. That consulting is a little more difficult because you're having to do it more. You know, that's you're having to inject consulting that maybe you don't have the groundwork that you laid for it. So that becomes a struggle too. So things that you might do as you're consulting your child is discussing what's going on in their lives. And some of those things that you might discuss would be what?
Life choices.
Okay.
You know, you're gonna make. Hey, who you're gonna marry, or you know, what job you're gonna take, or where you're gonna live, you know, things like that. You need wisdom to make big decisions because there's big risks involved in those things.
Okay. One of the things that's really important is goals, right? You know, it's like setting goals, and that's hard because you know we have to do that as adults too. If you're gonna progress, you need to set goals, and so with your adult children. That's probably a good place to start, is set some goals. You know, what is it you plan to do with your life? Are you going to be here the rest of your life? Probably not. You know, so that, you know, and again, this is excluding those medical things and those other challenges or things that are difficult. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But when you set these goals, you know, you'll be talking about challenges and you'll be talking about things that they need to overcome. When you have adult children that are living at home, one of the things that's important is defining expectations, right? When you have an adult child, you're not going to reason with them like you did when they were children. You can't, you know, they they're bigger than you. So, you know, there is this, you have to communicate with them in a way that, you know, hopefully they'll be able to communicate somewhat as an adult as well. But, you know, talk about your expectations, communicate what kind of rules you expect for them being under your roof. You know, what kind of, are they going to contribute to housework? Are they going to financially contribute to groceries or bills? Are they going to have access to your car? You know, these are things that you have to discuss, because otherwise, if they go and they do things and you get upset about it, if you didn't talk to them, they're not going to know what, you know, why you're being upset with them. It's that communication, and that communication is something that we've talked about with all the children, all these children things, whether they're young, whether they're teenagers, whether they're adults, that communication thing. Other things that might be reviewed as far as the goals go is are they going to school? Are they going to go to college? Are they going to they looking for a job? Are you going to set time limits on how long they're going to stay? You know, that's, again, we're talking, these are adult children. These are people that technically by law you can throw them out at 18. You know, so this is kind of a, you're helping them to get ahead in life, we hope, you know, or to help them do that. So establishing goals of job hunting, perhaps defining a timeline. You know, we talked about goals, a timeline might be part of those goals. What do you expect them to be? Where do you expect them to be in 3 months? Where do you expect them to be in 6 months? Where do you expect to be in a year? And again, these are timelines and goals that you would discuss with them. You know, there is no one size fits all. There's so many reasons for why these adult children would be with you that there's a lot of factors. So working on that, these are just to give you an idea. Any thoughts?
I remember you going to a consulting position. I said, what should I do? Tell me what to do. And you're saying, you have to make these decisions yourself. I was like, why now? I wanted to make the decisions back then, not anymore. Just tell me what to do.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is hard.
It is hard. Well,
that's what you get with free consulting.
Again, you know, we've talked about all these things about how children change and how difficult it is for children. Well, this is parents. It's hard on parents. It's hard for parents. Because there is, you know, when you have a parent of a toddler, that's the first time you're a parent. You know, this is your experience raising toddlers. When you get to the teenagers and, you know, the younger children and the teenagers, it's like you're learning to be a parent for teenagers, and same with adults. When you get to adults, I would hope that you can continue to counsel your children as they ask and counsel as they need it, offer suggestions maybe of things that you see that maybe, you know, you might want to consider this or consider that based on what they're seeing, because sometimes it helps to have a perspective that's not right in the trenches. You know, when you're a parent, you're dealing with the kids on a daily basis, you see them constantly, you're dealing with all these struggles. Well, sometimes it helps to have a grandparent, you know, that's maybe one step away saying that, oh, you know, you're gonna come through this. It's not the end of the world. It's you know, there are things. But sometimes too the parent may see something that maybe if you work this way with your child, maybe if you do this with your child. So the idea is that you consult. Now, as your children grow up, your role goes from being you know, caregiver, being manager, to being more of a consultant, maybe to being more of a friend to your adult children. You know, you can. That's the time to be friends with your children. You can't really be friends with them when they're little. Not that you can't have fun with them, but what is the difference between a friend and a parent?
Responsibility as well.
Okay, responsibility.
Discipline.
You know, so it's different. You know, you can have fun with your kids, but they need to understand the authority that's there. And with a friend, it's basically, isn't a friend someone you choose to be with? You know, as opposed to someone you have to be with. A parent has to be with that child. That's their job. You know, is to, and we spent, you know, weeks talking about those things. So again, these are some ideas. I mentioned earlier that this was a tough class for me to prepare for because of the fact that we don't see a lot of examples for adult children. You know, we went over several passages in Proverbs and several passages about raising your kids and, you know, beating them and, you know, all these things. But there's not really a lot that's said for adults. But we do have, in our society today, a lot of adult children that are home. Now, how how's that different from the adult children that might have been home back in these biblical times?
Well, as far as it says, back then the culture, or even a lot of, it's mostly a Western culture that the children separate like that. Mm-hmm. It really is more of a, I mean, even in China, and, you know, you rely still on your family. A lot of times they still live generationally. Mm-hmm. You still have grandparents, parents, and kids all in one house, and it's not a, you know.
Well, it was like that here even 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, if you figure that 75% of people were doing agriculture 100 mm-hmm. years ago, you lived there, you worked there, you were on your farm. 3-4 generations even. People weren't expected to go off on their own necessarily. Maybe 10% of people even went to college at that time.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly recent phenomenon.
So it was
even a challenge.
And like you said, for work, it was, you know, it was a business, or it was a trade, or it was a, you know, something that you did as a family. And we don't really do that. I mean, what we see in the Old Testament, what are some of the family businesses we saw? We saw farming.
Carpentry.
How about your cattle raising? You know, they would have their sheep, they would have their goats, they would have their, you know, all the, and so we see that there was a lot of that. Now we did see, you know, what was the example of Abraham? What was Abraham told to do?
Leave his family.
Leave. So we do see that there was kind of what we see in our Western civilization, where there was kind of going in and building your own family and doing your own thing. And so we do see those things, and there are some expectations there. So what we can see is that as we raise our children and as we raise our teenagers, we want to raise them in a way so that they'll be good, independent,
functioning.
Members of society, right? Because it's not only family, but what else? Well, it's government. You know, you've got you want to raise them to be good taxpayers and to pay for our social security.
Funny how it always goes to that.
But you know, there's other responsibilities that children do. We're focused on family here. You know, we want them to be able to go out, start their own family, go out and get married, or go out and be on their own.
Well, the Bible talks about having children as arrows, shooting them into the world, like this idea.
Right, yeah. Because when even the example of having a quiver full, right? Mm-hmm. A quiver, the archer, like you said, you shoot them out into the world. And that's where we can do our best as parents, is understanding that, you know, God gives us children, but isn't it our responsibility to raise them to be godly, to raise them to be functional, to raise them to be able to be strong and be we basically raise them to leave. And that sounds kind of mean, but that's really what we need to do. We need to raise them to be responsible so that they can go and be responsible, so that they can...
Ultimately, you want them to be good Christians, to help spread the gospel. Like,
right.
That's sort of an evangelistic view of it. You know.
I do have a list here of this. As I said, this Debbie Pink has had some rules for adult children living at home. And I'm going to throw these out there. We'll discuss. Some of them here. For example, the first one says, before your child moves back in, hammer out guidelines. And some of those guidelines it talks about is, how do we know this is working? How do we know if this is not working? What will we do if it isn't working? What will we do if this is working? And this kind of comes back to this idea of what they call boomerang kids, where they go out and then they come back. And I think that's some good points. You know, the guidelines that are important, and the definition of saying, sitting down with them and saying, how will we gauge if this is good or if this is bad? What are we going to do if it's good? What are we going to do if it's bad? So that kind of gets into, you know, the timelines and things like that. Oh, sorry, that's the next one. Number two is set limits. And this is defining limits and parameters. It, will it be until you get a job? Will it be until you get your first paycheck? Will it be until they save a certain amount of money? You know, those are some of the ideas that she put forth here. Number three was have a plan of action. And what was mentioned here is helping your children doesn't mean providing for every need and want. You know, that's kind of hard too. But with your adult kids especially, you know, trying to get them to, they need to provide for themselves. They need to do some of these things by themselves. Well, money is definitely a limiting factor. If they're not able to get a job, you know, how much are you going to help them? And what are they spending that money on? You know, you don't want to give them $500 for gas money so they can get interviews and stuff and then bring home a new TV, you know, that type of thing. That's not what, those are the things that you want to set limits on. Number four, consider your own needs. That's a tough one that I think a lot of parents don't take into consideration when they bring their adult kids in. You know, they're bringing their adult kids in. Well, what are your needs as a parent? Some of the examples, well, it talks about you did not expect your adult child to come back home. What are your values and how do you expect them to behave? You know, you need to set some guidelines, which is hard because, you know, when they're adults, if they've been out on their own and they come back, are they going to be checking in with mom and dad when they're going somewhere? When they're gonna, you know, that we have a little bit of experience in this, and that we have a daughter that runs away for 3 months and comes home, or runs away for another 3 months and comes home. And it's like when it first started happening, I know that Dondi struggled with, well, she didn't tell me that she was, you know, going here, going there, doing this or doing that. It's like, well, she's an adult, you know. So it's good to work out some of these things and how what you expect them to do. Sometimes maybe you need to expect them to do something like go to church. You know, if you're going to be under my roof as an adult, you're going to go to church. That might be something. You know, so there's things that you want to consider, especially if they're your needs. Number five, that she said, don't get pulled into guilt. This is the parent, you know, don't be guilted into things. So there's likely to be resistance or pushback. And she said that don't fall for the, I don't believe my own parents would, you know, whatever. Don't believe my own parents would throw me out into the cold or, you know, whatever. Don't be guilty. That's one of the things that she says. Another thing that she said is try not to react to your child's anger. That's got to be a hard one. You know, you're going to have, there's going to be contention, especially when you have a child that says, I'm an adult. And it's like you have a parent that's saying, you're under my roof. You know, there's going to be some contention there. Try not to react to your child's anger. Try to be kind but firm. Be thoughtful in your responses. And I thought she had a good example here. You know what? Let me think about what you're saying and let's talk later. Sometimes it's best to not blow up at that moment. Give it some consideration. Come back around. And some of these things too might be for older kids. You know, that if you're reacting, you know, that if you're just, when tempers flare is not the time you're going to get things worked out. So that was good. And again, this Debbie Pincus person, I didn't find anything about her being a Christian or anything. These are just things that she's come up with during her consultations and stuff. Number seven, when you're feeling controlled by your child, again, situations can get emotionally charged. Ask yourself, am I not making clear enough boundaries? Am I not making my expectations known? Am I not clear on how long my child is allowed to stay here or how much money I'm going to give them. You know, again, you know, it's still your house, still your rules, still your responsibilities, still you're the driving force. But this idea of don't let your kids control you, your adult kids especially. Number eight, I'm hoping this one doesn't come to pass, but it could. It says when the relationship becomes abusive, you know, there's that possibility too. When that happens, the question you need to ask yourself is, what am I willing to live with? You know, how much are you going to put up with? She quotes someone, James Lehman, who says, there's no excuse for abuse, and this includes abuse from an adult child living in your home. You feel like you're in a dangerous situation and the abuse is scaring you in some way, seriously ask yourself, is it time for my child to leave altogether? You have to just say bye, you know, and that's tough. Another thing to ask is, if somebody's being abusive to me, in what way am I allowing them to do that? Where am I being too passive? You may need to say to your child, if I'm feeling endangered here, I'll need to call the police. I don't want to do it, but I may have to. So again, I'm hoping that that's not a position that we would be in as parents with adult kids, but it could happen. Yes?
I was going to say, when you're talking about a family with parents with adult children, I feel like the word adult is very important, because at each level in your life, as you're growing, you become more and more accountable. And I feel like as an adult child, you already have a solid foundation of what you've been taught from your parents. And she has a lot of good points in there dealing with parents on how they're going to, how their relationship is going to work with their adult child. But I feel like that grown person, I don't necessarily feel like 18 years old makes you an adult. I feel like a lot of 18-year-olds are not adults when they become adult legally. But I feel like, you know, if you're a grown person, you should be held more accountable. Like, say, if you had to move back into your parents because of the big recession that happened, you know, there's nothing that you could do to control it. You know, your company lost all its money. But you should go in there with your own plan. Like, okay, I know I'm in my parents' house, and this is the rules that they have. This is how I'm going to live, because, you know, that commandment that God gave, honor your father and mother. You're not there to be a burden. They're actually helping you out so that you could, rebuild your life and, you know, start over. And for the kids that, you know, stay too long, that are not productive, there are programs out there that the government has, and, you know, there are programs out there in place to help these kids, whether they like it or not. Like, if it's not working at home, well, you're an adult, you're going to have to, there's some things I feel like you have to learn the hard way if you're not going to learn them the correct way. And that's not to go to say, you know, like the parents that have, like, special needs kids, or that's not talking about them. This is just talking about adults. Like, teenagers, we have to put up with you, you know? Like, if you do something, if you get arrested, it actually comes back on the parents. You know, 20, 22, 25, that actually doesn't. That's just your own world that you're going to have to deal with. So I feel like the biggest thing in this is you're talking about adult children, and they should be able to make plans and as an adult. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that she did mention that I failed to mention, I had it in my notes here somewhere, is that really when you're helping your child, when you're helping your adult child, it's a gift. I mean, that is a gift, and that's an important gift, because, as you said, if they're struggling financially, trying to get a job or trying to get, you know, get something situated that's beyond their control, it's really a gift that is happening there, where the parent is saying, I'm going to help you out because I love you, because you're my child. And that this idea, like Nikki was saying, of how important it is for the adult children to have a plan and communicate that plan. You know, because that again is the big thing here, is communicate what it is. Hey, mom and dad, we're really struggling. I can't make the house payment, or can't make the rent payment, or can you give us a hand? And that's the time, you know, where you talk about the things, the expectations, the what are your goals, how can we help, you know, type thing. And that's, you know, that's where it's almost more of a friendship than a parent thing. But again, as a parent, the child needs to understand that it's a gift that they're there. And that's kind of what we see there. The last point that she made here, point number 9, when it's time for your child to leave the nest. And she says here, I think there may be many reasons why you might decide it's time for your child to leave. You might feel that it's just not working out, or not working, or that you can't take it anymore. Maybe your health or finances are too stressed by the situation. Or perhaps you just want to be with your spouse and have the time of your life. I think it's up to you. There's no right answer, but the bottom line is this. When you feel that you've done your part responsibly, or that your child is not living up to their part of the bargain and is taking advantage of you, maybe time to move out. And this made me think of the instance not too long ago where someone in Florida had to call the police to have their, you know, 30-something-year-old child evicted from their home because they wouldn't leave. And so it's like, you know, hopefully we're not to that point. But these are some things that happen. And so it's important there to, I think, like I said, she had some good points. There were some good things that were made. We did talk about a lot of the raising of things, you know, when we talked about the young children and the teenagers and instilling in them, you know, religious upbringing and responsibilities to God and things like that. But, you know, this one, like I said, is tough. It's hard to say what to do with adult kids because it's, you know, it's a struggle. There's so many variables when you get to that. You know, it's like when your kids are young, they're going to obey you, they're going to disobey you. That's kind of two things. And so it's like, what do you do to correct those? But, you know, when you get into the numerous situations and things that would happen with that, that's going to be, it's a hard one to cover. Because again, not a lot of scriptural examples. I mean, we saw Abraham sending his servant away to find his son a wife. Well, how old was Isaac when he got married, you know? He was 40 years old. And so it's like, so, you know, you have a situation like that, and then it seemed to be at that point that Isaac kind of took off, but, you know, Dad was still around for a little while, so there, hopefully we don't keep our kids at home until they're 40.
You'd be doing your child a disservice. That's not helping anybody.
Yeah, they're already entitled to enough. You know, learn a lot of practical skills because society doesn't expect it now.
Yeah.
You know, kids don't want to drive anymore. They expect high paying jobs out of school.
Yeah. And that's hard because it's like, I think, you know, the best thing we can do is ground our kids in spiritual relationship with God. And then it's like, and leading by examples, you know, those are things that are important as parents. And those are things that we've talked about. One of the things that when we were raising our kids, it's like, okay, kind of looking back at how our parents raised us. And it's like one of the things that we were lacking in was finances. Your parents never talked about finances. You never knew what, you know, that if mom and dad were ever struggling with bills or struggling with budgeting or something like that. So it's like we decided we'd teach our kids early about money. So give them an allowance. Then tell them how to handle that allowance. Talk to them about savings. Talk to them about debt and how difficult and how that can be crippling to you, and things mm-hmm. like that. And so, it's a lot of it's life lessons that you look at, and that's where your counseling comes in as your kids get older, as they encounter some of the struggles, some of the difficulties that they face as they're raising their children. Well, mom or dad, what did you do when, mm-hmm. Under this situation and being there to help them with the more of the counseling. And of course, our counseling all comes back on biblical principles, comes back on teachings that we have in the Bible. And so that's where our best, your best help is going to come from. Any comments? I mean, I know it's hard. I didn't have a lot of answers. I think I have a lot of suggestions for this, but that's really kind of what it's about. We have to work with the things that we can experience in and go from there. Next week we'll be talking about caring for aging parents. That's kind of our next topic. And I think I have a little bit of experience on that. So we'll kind of see what we'll come up with some things in that as well. But appreciate everyone's attention. Again, this was one of those things where it was like we're kind of doing a lot of discussing what can be done, again, based on some godly principles, and in this case, there was, some things that were kind of like what counselors would do, but that's a part of life as well. Mendel, would you close us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this church that you have put here in Boise for us to gather with, to dig into your word, to learn how to deal with some of life's most challenging circumstances, such as parenthood. Lord, we know that we need your guidance and your support in this, that we couldn't do it ourselves. And we're thankful for all those like Rich who have spent time thinking about and studying these things to share with us some wisdom so that hopefully we can handle these situations in our lives. We thank you, Lord, over all things, for your Son, for his example and words to us, so that we may know how to live. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to learn from everything he said and did, so that we can truly live lives that bring glory and honor to your name, and that will bring goodness and hope to others, so that they will know your light. Please guide us this week and help us to do what's good and right in your sight. Forgive us of our sins and bring us back together again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think I will.
I'm having a little girl.